present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz. We start with the sign seen outside an off-licence in Punchbowl, Australia, read by Charlotte Green.
Drinking red wine makes one appear charming, witty and urbane. With prices like these, elegance and sophistication are within the reach of even the most uncouth yobbo.
Thanks to Jim Russack of New South Wales for that. Now let's meet the teams. Welcome first, please, on my right, Andy Hamilton and Maureen Lipman. Challenging them on my left, Alan Corran and Clive Anderson. Andy, your first question. Which one-year-old got into a spin on their birthday?
Oh, one-year-old. Oh, yes. This is Tony Blair, who it's the end of his first year. And there were loads of articles assessing how he's been doing. And apparently he's been doing very well.
What about the spin? Year.
Well, and there's been a lot of spin about it.
You've missed the story that Tony Blair climbed into a tumble dryer.
Over the past 365 days, New Labour has had to fend off frequent allegations of undue interference with the media, allegations which, I may say, are baseless, untrue, and totally without... I can never read Mandelson's handwriting. I'll give 2 points there to Andy for getting the answer and 1 point to Alan for telling him. Maureen, how is the government trying to paper over the crack for the under-10s?
Oh, yes. They're going to insist that children in school are taught about drugs, the horrors therein. And they're going to start with five-year-olds. So you're going to get things like Barbar and Celeste cook the Sunday joint. if you step on the crack, you're a sissy. This sort of thing, you know. My Heroine by Maureen Lipman, Form 4B. I think it's a dodgy thing. The more forbidden you make it by talking to them about it, of course, the more glamorous it is at the same time. So I sincerely hope they know what they're doing. They've tried it with sex, and it hasn't worked with that, has it?
Well, if kids reeling home saying, oh, we had double cocaine today.
Yeah. Miss Jones got completely out of her head during the practical. Yeah.
The government plans to get their message across using popular cartoon characters, so Dopey will talk about the dangers of cannabis, Happy will warn of the evils of ecstasy, and Sneezy will talk about his long nights on the road with Oasis. 2 points to Maureen. Clive, which fat cats think the Lord Chancellor's far from perfect?
Well, this is a very distressing story to me personally. Because having left the law in order to get into the generous area of showbiz, I now discover you make much more money as a lawyer. And the Lord Chancellor's Department has been rather cruelly publishing the earnings of Fat Cat. I wasn't really ever a Fat Cat lawyer. More of a poor pussy, really. And I've been speaking to my old barrister friends, and they're terribly cross about it, some of them, because their names haven't been included in these lists of people. And it's all been done to shame them into having a party and celebrating.
The defence rests.
Three men at the gates of heaven. How much do you earn a year? The first man. He goes away. He says, £150,000. Go and stand over there with the lawyers. Says the second man, how much do you earn a year? He says, £100,000. Go and stand over there with the accountants. Says the third man, how much do you earn a year? He says, about £4,000. He said, really? Would I have seen you in anything?
In a drive to increase equality at the bar earlier in the week, Lord Irvine also attempted to woo more women onto the bench. Well, it worked with Donald Dewar's wife. Barristers hit back at claims that they earned too much, pointing out that many were living on the breadline, forced to supplement their meagre income by doing menial and degrading tasks, such as hosting BBC's chat shows.
This recording of the News Quiz will continue with only three participants.
Alan, your piece of music. Think of what you're saying. You can get it wrong and still you think that it's all right.
Think of what I'm saying. We can work it out and get it straight. I'll say goodnight. We can work it out. We can work it out.
Alan, who will soon be able to RUC a new pattern?
The Royal Ulster Constabulary. Is going to have is going to be investigated by the Governor of Hong Kong. That's about it, isn't it?
Mm. Must be worrying for the Ulstermen, because all Pat has done is given Hong Kong away to the Chinese. So there's a
subliminal message there, isn't it? It's not the first example of Tony Blair appointing his political enemies to high-profile government jobs. We've got David Mellor at the Football Task Force, Michael Heseltine running the Dome, and Gordon Brown at the Treasury. The scores at the end of round one are Andy and Maureen 4, but thanks to my corrupt scoring system, Alan and Clive have nudged into the lead with 5 points. And we start round two with an item from the Gazette of South Gloucestershire.
Filton-based Bristol Cars this week dramatically unveiled their new 1998 model. The rich and famous tend to be the most avid followers of Bristol's. Pop Hellraiser and Oasis frontman Liam Gallagher already owns one of the cars, and rumour has it he will soon have a pair of Bristols.
Thanks to Andrew Carey of Bristol for sending that in. Andy, who displayed her cool when celebrating Britannia?
Is this the Queen?
It is.
Our beloved Queen, who they had a big party for Creative Britain. And I think the Queen was, she sort of went along the line, and she didn't know, she asked Mick Hucknall, what do you do? She did one of those. And I do feel sorry for the Queen. I think now that she is the people's Queen, it was bad enough having to walk around paint factories and feign interest in people who scrape the vats in the mornings. But to have to be introduced to a long pile of shabby pop stars and pretend to be interested in them, I think is... And anyway, what does Mick Hucknall do? I don't know.
My husband and I decided not to go. We thought about it for a long time, and we came to the conclusion it was the best thing not to go on the grounds that we hadn't been invited.
I'm so sorry.
Nice bit of timing there, Simon.
Maureen, who battled it out for leadership in cyberspace?
That'll be the Prime Minister of this great sceptred isle of ours, Tone, and it will be William Hague. They were both saying, hello, good morning, aren't we great, on the internet.
He missed a trick, actually. I mean, for the great populist Prime Minister, you know, who always spots an opportunity, he missed a trick because a Newcastle fan asked him that rather old joke about, have you got a ticket for the cup final? Will you be going? Can I have your seat? And he genuinely asked him for his seat, and Blair, rather stuffy, I thought it was a great opportunity. Imagine the people's prime minister puts a Geordie next to the Queen at the cup final. Yeah. A Newcastle fan on his feet, effing and blinding every time. And Blair can say, well, I did that. You know, that's bringing the royal family into the 20th century. But he didn't do it.
10 a.m. when his site opened, William Hague was pictured scanning the morning papers for coverage of the Tory party. And at 6 p.m. when it closed, he was still looking. Tony Blair says it's vital that every child in Britain is computer literate or they'll never be able to work those new tills at Burger King. Clive, here's your piece of music. Clive, which French striker has threatened to foul up the World Cup?
Well, there's always somebody in France fouling up something. They take it in turns. There's three of them. It's either the air traffic controllers, the farmers, or the lorry drivers. And why none of that lot got together in 1939 and stopped the Germans invading, I don't know. But I'm fantastically lucky because I happened to see this just before I came here, and there is a threat by lorry drivers to foul up the World Cup, and it might bring out the metro workers and everything. And despite the fact that we can't go to the World Cup because we're not French and therefore we can't have any tickets, we wouldn't be able to get there anyway because the roads are going to be blocked and the stadium isn't ready, and it's delightful to find that they can muck up things as well as we can.
Not even going to try to say the words French and truckers in the same sentence.
The only thing I saw on that story was that David Mellor, obviously there's a lot of, we're all very worried about crowd trouble in the World Cup, so David Mellor thought he'd make a constructive contribution by calling the French cheats and liars, I think. I remember David Mellor, of course, was a Chelsea fan, and we used to follow David Mellor. He always started the trouble up the shed. Razor Mellor, he was known as. Him and John Major, they were starting fights all the time.
Over the Arsenal, we have Melvin Bragg and the Archbishop of Canterbury. They're there.
The North Bank boys.
Yes.
I know, yeah.
Or South Bank boy in Melvin's case, obviously.
The French lorry driver's leader, Roger Paletti, has threatened to blockade all routes into France during the World Cup unless the truckers' latest pay claim is met. The drivers claim they got their brilliant idea to throw the road system into chaos from Britain, where it's known as the May Bank holiday. 2 points there. Alan, whose royal version of Upstairs Downstairs premiered on late-night American TV?
This is Fergie. She said, Andrew and I do have affairs, but we're very discreet. She said this to 83 million Americans on television. And what she really means is they don't do it at home. They go down to the garden shed or on top of the garage or just behind the bike shed.
Children off doing nursery rhymes like the grand old Duke of York, he had 10 nerves.
And when they were up, they were up.
Yes.
When they were only halfway up, they were neither up nor down. Yes.
Oh, why not?
It can't be easy being a child of York, can it?
When they were only halfway up, they all got Viagra prescribed.
Viagra.
Later, Maureen, later.
Viagra, Maureen, is only a theory. It's a lot of more research has to be done before it stands up.
The other lovely aspect of that interview she gave was she said, yes, we don't have sex in the house, we go away. And then she said, it's called co-parenting.
Mm.
You thought, no, it's not. It's called fornicating, but not co-parenting.
She is now, I believe, going out with a German count, and he is going out with a PR girl called Aurelia. And I just reckon that actually that's not her name, but that's sort of what she says
what
when you tell
got.
Her something, you know.
The scores at the end of round two are Andy and Maureen 8, but Alan and Clive still clinging to that lead with 9 points. And we start round three with an item spotted by Ian Ford of Almira, Spain, in The Entertainer.
Prisoners on death row in Los Angeles are bargaining with doctors to donate body parts in exchange for reduction in sentence. A murderer who donated a kidney had his death sentence reduced to life, as did one who gave a retina. Another who gave a kidney, half his liver, an arm and both legs is liable to walk free.
I've been wrong about the law here, but I reckon he goes free, but the bloke who's got all his body parts has to go into custody because he's, you know, the basis he's more of him, isn't he?
Andy, who proved himself poles apart from the average backpacker.
There's one thing in this country we still excel at. There's one thing where British we still lead the world in: madmen who go on pointless expeditions. Flying the flag. And what I loved about this one, he obviously read his history of explorers. He wasn't taking any chances, because this time he took the Norwegian with him. He said, I'm not going through that again. That's so embarrassing. You get that Norwegian flag fluttering away. What do you do after that? I mean, what do you do when you come home and they say, what next? He's done both the poles,
hasn't he? He's been to all four poles. I mean, I thought there were only two, but there must be an East Pole and a West Pole as well. And he's climbed all the mountains in the world as well, either along the way or just as a bonus.
He's going to try the Northern Line next. It's a really amazing
challenge. We haven't mentioned his name.
It's called Hempelmann Adams.
I don't think,
another point?
I don't think Andy knew his name.
No, he didn't know his name.
Luckily, Alan knew his name.
Where are the other two poles? Do we know?
I was cheating there. I was attempting a joke there. But in fact, there are two poles of the North Pole. There's a geographical north and a magnetic north. And at the south, equally there. So the real sort of champion ones who want to tick it all off in their book, they go to both the geographical one. And I'm answering a question, Alan.
I just want to watch ticking.
Good Lord, is that the date?
So 2 points there, Maureen. British adventurer David Hempelman Adams arrived at the most inaccessible spot on the planet to be greeted by 100 miles an hour winds, blizzard conditions, and Michael Palin with a TV crew. Maureen, here's your piece of music.
Lots of talk and lots of action. Rolling Rats, a main attraction, with a penthouse suite, swimming pool, pretty young guinea pigs playing it cool. Rolls Royces, yachts, caviar. I told you once I'm a superstar. La-di-da, la-di-dee, I'm a megastar. Don't question me. Want a chauffeur with a limousine? Live a life of luxury. That's my dream.
Maureen, which long-tailed terrors have finally had the last laugh?
Yeah, this is the tale of the scientists who have found that rats can laugh. So now you've got all these rats giggling. We can't hear it. It's so high that only a dog can hear it. But they've discovered that they emit this powerful little sound. They also apparently do James Cagney impersonations. You dirty human. Yeah. And... this is a big discovery because they never thought that any animals but us laughed, although they have got, you know, sort of thought that chimps laugh, certainly. And I have seen a dolphin laugh. I have been fortunate enough to be in the same pool as a dolphin recently, and they certainly do laugh. And it was a fantastic experience. I haven't actually heard from Jake since, but we did kiss each other on the snout, and it was quite a wonderful experience.
How do they know it's laughter? How do they know it's just ordinary squeaking or just general conversation?
They've said that they, up till now they thought it was a big sex thing, that they were making sort of Harry Met Sally noises, you know. Yes. No.
But that's really laughter, is it? I often thought.
Did you not know that part? <No.
laughs> it makes sense.
I'm going to post my entry in the strange but true bit now because my wife, I bet I'm the only man in this audience who's had a dolphin make a pass at his wife. It's true, my wife swam with a wild dolphin off the coast of Wales, and she swam with him for about half an hour, and then we had to get her out of the water because he was getting a bit interested in her.
What sort of things did he say?
You know, he was adopting a more physical approach by the...
It must have been terribly embarrassing for your children, Tom, Mary and Flipper.
Explain. I don't know what my wife's attitude was, but I have noticed that she's always glued to the telly whenever Free Willy comes on. I don't remember her saying whether the dolphin laughed or not. I think it was difficult to tell. Yeah, but their mouths are like that anyway. They could be thinking all sorts of evil things, really, and we'd still think they were smiling, a bit like sort of Cecil Parkinson, you know. You can't tell what's going on behind there, can you, really?
Alan Watts shot in straight at number one in America with a magic bullet.
Ah, it's the thing that's overtaken Prozac. It'll overtake anything, especially if you're one of the lucky men who takes Viagra. They've all... Viagra falls, or in this case, rises. It's a new miracle drug. It's a new magic bullet. And apparently 98% of all Americans are impotent. And those that aren't have a strange kink in it, like Clinton. And this can all be sorted out.
Alan's cheating, I'd have to admit, even though he's my team captain, because he's got a packet of it here. Why have you got some?
I've smoked three of them. You have to swallow them, do you? Hold the desk down while I cry.
It's a funny name, Viagra. They're thinking of marketing it over here under the title Tools Are Us. It's not going to catch on as Viagra.
How quickly does it work?
That's a stiff question. I've no idea.
It takes an hour.
Well, how long does it take to wear off? Not that we're interested in all these questions. Do you understand? It takes an hour, but then if it, you know, it lasts 24 hours, then that's fine on your way to it.
Although a bit embarrassing. And possibly a little bit inconvenient.
Change the face of tailoring as we know it.
Which way do you dress your waistcoat, sir?
Can we have the scores? Get us out of this.
And the scores at the end of round three are much the same as they were at the end of round two. Before we start the final round, here's a piece from USA Today.
George Michael, the former Wham singer, said he couldn't comment on the specifics of the charges made after a Beverly Hills cop said he saw Michael committing an unspecified lewd act, admitting, at the moment, it's in the hands of the district attorney.
Thanks to Mike Bursell of East Yorkshire for that. Maureen, who has got up the noses of experts with all their whining?
Wine, yes. This is to do with the dispute about whether you should let red wine breathe or not. And two cardiologists, I believe they are, one from Italy and one from Idaho, the two carbohydrate centres of the world, they've discovered that you don't need to let wine breathe at all. They tested it at the neck and the bottom. And they tested it on the bottles as well, incidentally. That old, what is the definition of a good Milanese wine? You never take me anywhere.
Have they also proved that it's pointless, that procedure in restaurants, when they give you a little bit of wine to taste before? What is the point of that procedure? They don't bring a little bit of the food round to say, look, this is what the food's going to do. Is that all right? Oh, we'll bring it to you now. But they do it with the wine. That's just there to embarrass people. Oh, yes, I'm tasting this. What am I tasting this? And it's disgusting. Oh, yes, fine, this piece. Yes,
it's just one of the rituals, isn't it? It's like the other ritual of the enormous pepper pot. Clearly, that's Italian waiters just humiliating you. Because they say English people think this is Italian, get up, and they get up bigger and bigger pepper pots.
Welcome to Casa Viagra.
Two scientists claim that leaving a bottle of wine to breathe before drinking it makes no difference to the taste. The reason is, they say, is because the narrowness of the neck doesn't let the wine react with the air. The only way you can allow wine to breathe is by pouring it directly into a receptacle with a very wide neck, such as Nicholas Soames. Clive, whose home proved far too upwardly mobile for the council?
I saw a story a little bit like this. It doesn't sound like it hits on it. Is this a chap who put a balcony? Oh, it says Evans here. And then this note passed to me by Alan Corran.
So. I think he's the one about the caravan.
It is.
People bought a caravan and they then put a patio on it and a ballroom and all sorts of other things. It looked like the sort of thing, it had the sort of neo-regency enormous thing that Fergie would tow on holiday. And the council got very upset. Because they had wheels as well. And it's the biggest mobile home in the world, and they want them to dismantle it. I think they're called Evans, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Jim and Yvonne Evans have been told by their local council in Aldridge to remove a patio and conservatory extension from their mobile home as it makes it look too much like the real thing. Local police have backed the Evans' claim, especially as last Tuesday they clocked the couple's conservatory doing 80 down the M4. Mobile home living first became popular in America in the 50s, where it now accounts for 5% of all dwellings and 100% of all guests on Jerry Springer. Alan, whose unscheduled appearances have got Greenwich spooked?
Ah, it's an ex-chairman of the Gaslight and Coke Company, who comes back to the Dome dead. I mean, they buried him a long time ago, but he keeps coming back and haunting Mandelson's little toy on the... I mean, he wanders around the crane sites and it's upset all the builders, which is why the Dome probably won't be finished by 2000.
And they don't dare exorcise him and get rid of him because he may be the only visitor they ever get anyway, so hang on to him.
It's the only thing on the site spookier than Mandelson.
But the ghost wanders around laughing, doesn't he? Which obviously shows he's an up-to-the-minute ghost. He knows how much British Gas got paid for the site, obviously.
He might be a rat.
Yes.
Yeah. The ghost of the former gas company chairman, Sir George Livesey, who's said to be haunting the Millennium Dome site. Ghost hunters who waited all morning this week for an appearance by the former gas board chairman returned from lunch only to find a card saying they just missed him. Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
Well, this was sent in by Pat Healy of Torquay. It's a birth announcement. Andy and Joe Holmes announce Harry's arrival, a brother to Jack and Amy, in their Mazda on Deepwater Bay Road, midnight, 18th of Feb, in the rain. Thank God for leather seats. Thanks to all staff at the Adventist for helping us on our high-speed arrival. P.S. Lucky Mazda 626 for sale.
Maureen.
Here's an old chestnut from the Oxford Times, sent in by S.K. Finesilver. 50 years ago, my former wife was a student nurse in a casualty department when a mother came in with her fat, uneducated, underage daughter complaining of severe stomachache. It took the doctors only a second to announce she's in labour. Impossible, the mother remonstrated. My girl's a good girl, she is. Next day, the same doctor saw the girl and her baby in the maternity ward and suggested she might now confide in him about her boyfriend. Ain't never had no boyfriend, the girl insisted. Think back to something you did 9 months ago, sighed the medic. Well, came the thoughtful reply, I do remember swallowing a penny. The doctor filled in the birth certificate. Miss Smith, father unknown, possibly George the Sixth.
Live.
Oh, this has been sent in by Alexander Campbell. It's from the Daily Record. It says, at M&S, the recruitment department keeps a book of the worst covering letters for entertainment purposes. We once had someone apply for a management job where candidates were asked to demonstrate their leadership skills, who wrote, I'm a good leader because I used to be a shepherd in charge of 100 sheep. Another one, job requirement, list your key achievements. Response, I'm particularly proud of the fact that I have no fillings in my teeth. Job requirement, strong communication skills. Response, I enjoy communicating with people, but most of the time, they don't understand me.
Alan.
Well, a bit of a thin week, Simon, really. I found this in the Marylebone Mercury. There's two adjacent houses in Stockley Street, Marylebone, numbers 33 and 35, were burgled on Wednesday night, while their owners were at number 37, attending a neighbourhood watch meeting.
Thank you all. Now let's look at the final scores. Andy and Maureen, 16, but Alan and Clive just clinging to the lead and victory with 17 points. And before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Lanarkshire Herald, sent in by Mrs. H. Moss of Glasgow.
Police in Los Angeles had good fortune with a robbery suspect during an identity parade. When detectives asked each man in the lineup to repeat the words, "Give me all your money or I'll shoot," the man shouted, "That's not what I said."
That's all for this week. Until the next time, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz this week were Andy Hamilton, Maureen Lipman, Clive Anderson and Alan Corran. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by Tom Jameson with Felix Riley and George Poles. The producer was John Rolfe.